If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, day one of this year's Cheltenham Festival is, of course, the Tuesday, the highlight being the St James Champion Hurdle, but we kick it all off with the Skybet Supreme Novices Hurdle. The Scottish SunSport racing team are here to talk us through. Ed Watson is with me, Robert Thompson, Colin Duncan, and myself, Jim Delahunt. Ed, let's start with the Skybet Supreme and Melon, an uneasy favourite, is that fair?
Yeah, out of all the William Mullins trained runners that have pitched up for the curtain raiser, this has to be the weakest one by a country mile. He's only had one run over hurdles. There's only one winner since, or no winner since 1992, has only come here with only one run under its belt. That was a horse, you know, a horse like Binocular. He's the only one that's gone on to run on the flat and then come and win this race. Melon's doesn't look like an outstanding favourite here. You've got horses like Neon Wolf, Bally Andy, Move With The Times. I think there's more chance of Rod Stewart staying sober at a Scottish Cup draw than Melon winning the first of the great meeting.
Robert, where do you stand on Melon?
Well, he's priced up like his Vatura Duvan without having done anything near what they've done. I mean, apparently he's dizzy for going round thirdless and schooling races, but when it comes to the big day, I don't think that's really going to give you enough experience, is it?
So Willie Mullins is or isn't going to kick off the meeting with a winner, Colin?
No, I think he's one of the lays of the meeting, Jim. You know, even you look at an all count from breeding right through to what he's done in the course. I think he's from Medician. I think their record at the festival was 0 from 10. I don't think they've even had a placed horse. You see, he's got one run. The form of the Leopardstown Maiden he won hasn't worked out at all. You know, it was running a slow time. I'm not even sure that Ruby will actually ride the horse. You know, and I think its price will drift even longer in the days leading up to the race.
The money earlier this weekend was for Neon Wolf, which we all thought was going to go for the Neptune.
Yeah, well, we're very much dependent on what the ground's going to be. The latest forecast looks like we might get softer ground than usual, particularly for the start of the meeting, and you could see horses like Neon Wolf switch back to the shorter trip on softer ground. So from what looks quite a good opening to take on a horse like Melon, with the likes of Bally Andy, Moonracer we haven't mentioned, Move With The Times, it could actually be quite a strong race now. So it's going to be fascinating to watch what trainers' plans, how they crystallise close to the meeting. But if horses like that were, Neon Wolf was going to turn up, then you could even see Melon going off second or third favourite on the day.
The reason we haven't touched on Moonracer yet, Colin, is of course because it might run in the Champion Hurdle, which we'll come on to in the next couple of minutes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of money for it this morning. This trainer indicating that's maybe where the goal, meaning that probably tells you in the high regard in which the horse is held at the Pipe Stable.
Also reflects his career as well, that he's, you know, he's getting on a bit, he's not had that much experience, and they've got an open Champion Hurdle to have a crack at. So
I think also, if you look since he won the Champion Bumper 2 years ago, we've hardly seen him on the track. Mm-hmm. He clearly is a very fragile horse, so they're thinking, well, we're only maybe going to get 1-2 maximum runs out a season, so let's try and make hay while the sun shines. If we got a chance of going for an open Champion Hurdle, well, let's go for it just now, because they don't really know how sound a horse is going to be 12 months down the line, so this might be the only chance that Crack will get at it.
What are you, no matter where he goes, he's no run since November. Mm. And that has to be a negative, doesn't it?
Yeah, you would think so.
And I think he was also flattered the way that race worked out at Cheltenham, because it was a slow time. He got a good ride.
Yeah.
By the stands
rail. Very tactical, wasn't it?
Very tactical, and that's probably why he beat Bally Andy again in a falsely run race. He had more speed than Bally Andy.
I think the other thing we have to look at as well is, how highly do we rate the Irish novices this year? Have we now just got it in our head that the Irish novices are great all the time because of what they've been in the past? Or is the British form better? Is the Betfair not the best form that we've got?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it was necessarily a vintage Betfair herder, but you took two novices who breezed clear, hard held on the bridle, put daylight between them and the rest of the field. I think it's pretty
solid. It's the strongest form, isn't it?
So it's Bally Andy won it, beat Move With The Times.
The time second.
They're very closely matched on official ratings, and how that panned out. The only difference being is you've got Bally Andy at 5-1 and you've got Move With The Times at 9-1. So if you base it purely on prices, then surely out of the two, Move With The Times is the value bet, although Bally Andy has been there and done it because he's won at the festival before last year in the bumper.
Part of the reason is what Colin said as well about the form of Melon's maiden hurdle. Gordon Elliott came out and absolutely slaughtered his own horse. Broken Soul, was it?
Yeah.
saying ungenuine, you know, he's a jibber. I mean, that's basically the only horse of any sort of substance he's beaten. Mm. And his own trainer doesn't even like him. So
I agree with Ed. I think that's probably the best bit of form it's on offer. And also the time was exceptionally fast that day in comparison to another race he's run at the track. Mm. Also, Bally Andy, I mean, he reminds me very much of Minora. Real battle-hardened, yeah. Toughest teak. And that's what you need, you know, in comparison. He's lightly raced, like Mellon. It's only got one run under its belt.
It's told they could go for the long for the Neptune with him because he stays fit. But time has proven in recent years you need a horse that stays really well, yeah, to win a Supreme. They go off a quick gallop. It's probably going to be on more testing ground than usual this year. You're going to have to stay probably thick end of 2.5 to win a race like this.
In the hope that Nigel Twiss and Davis's horses are still in form, and I'm starting to have my doubts just looking at some results over the past week, I'm going to go with Bally Andy.
I would probably err on the side or move with the time, just that might have a bit more scope. Thought Bally Andy beat him fair and square, but I thought Barry Geraghty was very, very easy on it once he knew that it wasn't going to win. It did run slightly green, and I thought he kind of eased him home. So just, I mean, almost double the odds, I think, maybe move with the times. Slightly better value, but I mean, I think Ballyhandy is definitely going to be the one to beat.
I'm with Colin and move of the times, especially on the prices, means almost twice the price of Ballyhandy. The other one not to forget was River Wild, mm-hmm, who a good sort of form line through to Neon Wheel through Elgin. I could definitely be an each way contender.
Happy Ed?
Yeah, I think it's Ballyhandy and move of the times. Those are the two that I'll back.
Well, let's move jump rather to the Champion Hurdle because of the connection with Moon Racer. Moonracer heavily backed earlier this week for the Champion. Colin made a very good point that he might only get a couple of cracks at races every year because he is a little bit delicate. If he goes for the Champion, you know he's all in. He's going for it, Ed.
He is, and it's a fascinating Champion Hurdle because we don't have a superstar this year. There's no Faheen, there's no Annie Power, the last two winners. It leaves it very, very wide open, and Champion Hurdle, and if you did have a Faheen in the race, then Moonracer wouldn't be pitching up. So if he does pitch up, that tells you that it's even more wide open than perhaps it looks just now. Certainly the horse that brings very solid form is Petit Mouchoir, who is the most likely front runner. We should get probably a pretty decent sized field and a good pace as well, so we should get a truly run race. The horse I've backed twice so far at double figure prices is now the current favourite, Yanworth, who isn't the most natural hurdler, but you can't crab his form. He's unbeaten at 2 miles over hurdles. My one worry is with a big field, he got trapped wide last year. He's not the quickest over his hurdles. You know, if a similar scenario unfolded, he could get caught a bit wide, could get caught out of his ground, and then even though he's going to stay on at a track which will suit him better than the likes of Kempton and Wincanton, where he's won despite not liking the sharp nature of the track, that'd be my worry with Yanworth. But I think on form, he is the horse that has the best form. The best single piece of form, I think, is a 25-1 shot, a 10-year-old, the oldest horse in the race, called My Tent or Yours, who was second last year on his first run for over a year, I think. Mm. Hasn't been seen to best effect this year, but he would probably want the ground to dry up a little bit. But a strongly run race, big field, get some cover, he could again run into the frame at a big price.
But he's probably the outsider of Henderson's three, is that fair?
Yeah. Just going back to Yanworth for a minute there. I mean, everybody, we know he got beat at the festival last year. One thing that's been overlooked is Alan King's horses went off a cliff last year. After the meeting at Kempton, written down here, you had two winners from 49 runners in March, three winners from 41 runners in April. Mm. That's after 29 and 26% strike rate.
So the fact he's still finished before, second to a,
and he's
to
finished
a
second,
machine
so you
like
mark him
Hill.
Up.
Yes, you could do.
I think you can mark him up on that.
And I don't
think
it was Barry Geraghty's finest hour in the saddle either.
I can't go anything strong in the Champion Hurdle at this stage. Does anyone want to contradict that?
Well, the fact, Jim, that the betting, I think there's six horses at 7-1 and under, tells you how difficult a conundrum the Champion Hurdle is this year. I mean, you could genuinely make a case for those six and a whole raft of outsiders as well. I mean, I think Lemony is one of the most interesting contenders. The fact that if Willie Mullins decides to supplement it, I mean, it's form with Apple's Jade is top class. You know, I think the time form speed figure was, you know, out of this world. I think the March up is one of the top speed figures of the entire campaign. The fact that it would be in receipt of £7 as well. The other thing is that we're mentioned earlier, that the fact that Willie Mullins, when he does switch targets late in the day, I think over the last four festivals, you know, there's been 13 horses he's switched target at the last minute, and eight of them have gone on to win the races. Two were second and another two fell. So I mean, that would suggest that he's very, very rarely does he get it wrong when placing horses, or maybe just tells you that was the target all along, and he was trying to pull the wheel over.
She was very impressive when she won the other week. But the other horse you can throw into that same category is York Hill. Didn't impress in a public schooling session at over the weekend at Leopardstown. Mullins says he's not going to go Champion Hurdle with it, but Graham Wiley has had good hurdlers, none more so than Ingles Driever. Doesn't really have a champion hurdle horse because Nichols Canyon looks like he'll go maybe go elsewhere and miss the meeting entirely. York Hill, if he was to be supplemented, would go off favourite, so I wouldn't rule that one out just yet, even though Mullen says no way Jose.
Okay, well, still a few ifs and buts about the, ifs and buts rather about the champion. The Racing Post article, sticking with the Group 1s on Grade 1s rather, on the Day 1 card, over 2 miles, looks a certainty, Robert Altior.
I don't think we need to say any more, do we? He goes down, he comes back, he wins. That's
I think that's the case. That's the article.
The interesting market, it's not the outright market is not one for really getting stuck into, but it's the without market, how horses might be ridden to finish second to achieve the best possible. That's a fascinating market because a horse like Charbel, who is a novice, he's the horse that's got closest to Altior this year.
He's the only horse to really give him a semblance of a race, isn't he?
Yeah. So he's what, about 5-2 shot, I think, in the without market, which is a far better value to me than backing 3-1 on Altior. Another one just to throw in the mix as well. I know you've got doubts about Nigel Twist and Davis' horse's form, but Flying Angel, who's unbeaten in his two completed starts. That was his best performance to date when he won at Warwick just the other week. Stays further, handles softer ground. He was about 10-1, 10 or 12-1 in the without market, so maybe a bit of each way value in that particular market.
The other one I'd just give a small mention would be Royal Caviar, Willie Mullins. I mean, there's very, very few first string Willie Mullins horses will trade, will go off at 20-1, which he currently stands. I mean, he is a 9-year-old, he's obviously clearly had his problems. Probably would have won the Irish Arkle if he'd stayed up last time. He looks as if he had the measure at some plan. So I think he probably maybe represents a bit of value each way or in the market without the favourite, which I think he'd be holding.
But that's the market to play in, isn't it? I mean, you can still finish second to the favourite, being 20 lengths, and still pick up a nice return at double figures.
Should Altior be going for this race, or should he be going for the champion chase?
This race, undoubtedly. You're not going to beat Duvan.
He wouldn't beat Duvan, would he?
He might beat Duvan next year. That'd be the time.
I don't think he jumps well enough yet, does he?
Mm. And you only get one shot at an Arkle. You know, he's got next year for the championship.
We've ended up with two uncompetitive races, haven't
you,
really?
As a result, yes, you have. Because if you put Altior in the champion chase, he would undoubtedly be the main challenger to Duvan.
Yeah.
So if you're Nicky Henderson and connections, you definitely go to the Arkle. He would be the third horse since 1965 to complete the Supreme Arkle double, Flying Bolt and Duvan being the other two, but not many horses go down this route, and they often go champion hurdles, so maybe that's a little bit of a misnomer, but still one for the history books if he was to complete.
Well, the Mayor's Hurdle later in the day, Vroom Vroom Mag, the winner last year, looks like going off favourite this year, assuming that Willie Mullins has got all his plans correct. You've got Apples Jade in there, possibly Limini, and possibly Let's Dance, although I think Let's Dance with a £50,000 stable bonus for the Willie Mullins team may well go for the Mayor's Novices Hurdle later in the week.
Certainly looks that way, doesn't it?
Dance a reason, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the betting suggests this morning that Let's Dance is going to go down that route.
Yeah, okay, well, that's the Mayor's Hurdle. The National Hunt Chase, always an interesting race on day one. Lots of word about for A Genie in a Bottle. Champers on Ice has been well supported as well. And the other one I like, it's a Nicky Henderson one, is Beware the Bear. Is anyone with me?
Yep, I do like Beware the Bear, Jim. He said it won a very good novice chase early in the year. I think it was the same route Tricky Trickster in Midnight Prayer took before winning the 4 miler. You know, its form ties in. It beats Single Farm Payment, which has been well tipped up for the handicap early on the same day. I mean, it jumps, it stays, it's got all the attributes you need to win a race like that, which turns into a real war of attrition, especially if the going does come up soft. I think Nicky Henderson's always believed it'd be a Grand National horse, and this would always be a good stepping stone. I give that a big chance. I think it's about 16-1, I think.
12, 14, 16, depending where you want to go. Possible one in there again, with the proviso about Nigel's horses. Callet Mad has been running quite well in chases, suggesting that he might be up to this. Callet Mad, any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a Simon Muneer, isn't it? Yep. An Isaac Swed horse. Yep. I think it's been one of these horses that's kind of, they've kept deliberately below the radar. I mean, it was entered up in quite a few of the different contests, the RSA, the 4 miler, maybe even been in the Kim Muir. I mean, it's been in a lot of the races, but they've deliberately not been saying very much about this horse while talking about a lot of other ones, which always leads me to be a bit suspicious that this might be, you know, this might be something special.
Where are we going to go for the best bet on Tuesday?
We could go to one of the most competitive races of the day, probably the Ultima Business Handicap. I think one of our old friends, Holywell, John Joe O'Neill. You know, I think it's a stone, rated a stone lower than when second in the race to last year, to Intemper 2. A pair of them drew about 20 lengths clear. Clearly been campaigned with this race in mind all year. I mean, as it's done for the last 4 seasons, run all winter, some soft ground at Northern Tracks, clearly not to its liking, but give it the festival some good going, bit of sunshine on its back, and it really, you know, comes to life. I think it's about 14-1 I think you can get. I think it's a knocking each way bet, and I just can't have it out of the frame.
Enjoy the first eight.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cheltenham.